Well, I do want to say happy Father's Day to our dads here today. I've had five dads, more than my share. Only one of them is still living, and that's Steve's dad. But I am thankful for all the dads that were part of my life throughout the years, and God has used them in different ways, and I'm thankful. I am thankful. The dad who probably raised me the most from age 8 to 16, before he left this world, was a wonderful example, and I know that God used him to heal a lot of things in my broken heart. And he's an awful lot like the man I ended up marrying. So I am thankful for God bringing that in my life, because we often marry people that we're accustomed to things about them. And I am thankful that the Lord gave me a good stepdad to be a good example and eventually lead us to walking with the Lord, and I appreciate that. Of course, I have been able to observe my own husband be a dad for 44 years now. Yeah, and you know what? He just keeps getting better. And I think I do want to encourage dads that it's not like 0 to 18 and you're done. Well, some people do think that, oddly enough, but our kids still need to have, yes, it's a very different relationship, but I think our kids depend on Steve more than ever, and when they're in crisis, but when they're in crisis, they call Dad, and Dad prays with them and for them and encourages them, and so don't ever stop being a dad. It does look different with grown kids, but by all means, don't stop loving your kids. And we got that advice early on: the relationship is the priority. Always work to stay in relationship, whether you agree with your kids or not. And we have found that to be good and faithful advice to keeping relationship with our kids. Anyway, happy Father's Day. So the gift that I want to give you, let's start with this. Have you ever been in your car going along and the windshield seems fine? Ed? Looks like that. You know, you're driving along, everything's going fine, and then sunlight comes in. Have you ever done that? Hello, picture. Oh, there it is. Yeah, I've done that many times where I thought I was fine, didn't need to do anything about it. It's kind of amazing what sunlight will do when it hits the same windshield that a few minutes ago was just fine. You were seeing just fine. You didn't know there was any problem at all. I've had it happen at night, too. You think you're going along fine, and then headlights hit that kind of a windshield, and whoa, everything just blurs and disappears. Some things that get stuck on the windshield are harder than others to get off. And that is true of life. All right, here's my gift for you. It's a gift to fathers, but everybody else can listen in because it's a gift for you too. I want to turn up the light as a blessing. My gift to you will shed light and expose some less than favorable issues, but in the end, it brings refreshing, love, freedom. Who doesn't want that gift? Anybody? Okay. Let's unwrap the gift. Well, I want everybody to follow. Okay, here's the gift. I looked up the word refreshing several years ago, and I was very, very, very surprised where I found it. Now, repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? That amazed me. I was like, there, that's where we find refreshing. I just wanted to be refreshed. And he said, yep, that's where it is. That repentance actually brings us a refreshing. So before we can get refreshed. We need to kind of see what the bugs are on the window. So we're going to define sin. There's a lot of ways you can define sin, but these are the ones we're going to work with. First of all, living and believing in any way outside of God's will, plan, directions, law, whatever word you want to use there, as declared in the scriptures. God has given us his word, and he has a plan. He has the instructions, the directions, and they are so good, and anything outside of those is sin. Anything outside of love is sin. You know, wasn't it nice of God to kind of, you know, summarize, love God, love others, to simplify where it's at? So anything outside of loving God and loving others is sin. You can look those scriptures up on your own if you'd like to. Self-centeredness. When it's all about you, that's not God. That is not God's heart. The lust of fleshly appetites, the lust of the eyes, such as coveting, and pride, power, striving to be number one. Strongholds, addictions. Okay, strongholds and addiction. The Bible doesn't use the word addiction. It uses the word stronghold and strongholds. It's always based on lies that we believe, then we protect it, and then we feed it. And we keep it going until it has become, it's got a stronghold on us. So a good stronghold is when we run into God and he protects us from evil. That's a good stronghold. And there are lots of those in the Bible showing us how to have a be inside of the stronghold and protected. But when that stronghold protects sin, that is outside of God. That, in fact, if I were to pick a starting place, if you want to hear from God and live his best, look for strongholds because they're strangling you. They are strangling your family. They're strangling your friends. They're strangling you. If it's got a firm grip on you, you know, when I'm talking to people about marriage or whatever, I say, you know, if this addiction is here, you got to start there. You've got to start there and get rid of those strongholds because they will destroy you and your family and your life and your job and your friends. And we're certainly watching some of that take place in people we know. All right, so about sin. Let's not be afraid of that word. That has kind of become a word that we don't say in church anymore because people don't like that word. And that made me think of when our oldest son had a toddler, his firstborn, and they were like, oh, well, we don't say the word no. We say that's not for you, or let's do this instead. And, you know, they had all these things to say. I don't know. Did it even take them 6 months to outgrow that? Yeah. No. Just no. Sin is kind of that way. It is sin. Anything that separates us from all that God has for us, it's sin. Don't be afraid of that word. Because the good news we already saw in that video, which I just love, flawless. We're aiming towards flawless, which isn't because of what we've done. We cooperate with God. But it's because of who he is and what he's done. That's where we're going with this. So this is refreshing. And I'm not even going to point out specific sins, at least unless God brings something up, because I want the Holy Spirit to speak to you individually. I want him to put his finger on your life and speak to you what he has for you if there's something that he wants you to deal with. And when this has been on my mind for a long time because a couple of things, but when I started pursuing it, I thought, okay, well, I better make sure I'm repentant and that I am aware of what's going on in my life. So I asked the Lord to show me. And what he showed me was that I needed to repent of wanting to be comfortable. My husband has watched me on several occasions go, oh, I want to be comfortable. And, you know, even though I just got done with a 10-year period of caring for my mother, and of course, through the later stages, it got more and more and more and more intense, the care. But in some ways, I was home, and I don't know, it was a quieter life, and I didn't necessarily like it that quiet, but anyway, there was a certain amount of comfort. I could live my life in my slippers, so to speak. So God said, okay, I need you to not worship being comfortable anymore. I mean, I didn't even know it was, but when it was time to be uncomfortable, I knew, you know, and Steve would ask me to something, and I'm like, maybe I did that in front of you, I don't know, but in my heart I was certainly doing that, but, you know, and I'd get away with the Lord, and okay, Lord, you're asking me here to be uncomfortable. So I'm going to encourage you not to do that. When the Lord is speaking to you, deal with it, get on top of it. All right. Laws are boundaries that we need in our life. God has filled his word with directions on how to live this life. And is it because he hates us? The answer is? What is the answer? Because he does what to us? He loves us. Do you know, if I don't restrain my toddler from running out into the street where the cars are, I'm not giving him freedom. I'm putting his life at stake. The boundaries I set for my children are out of love, and they're not fun for parents either, by the way. Most of you are parents. Setting boundaries for your kids isn't a fun job, but it's so much the way we communicate love. It is definitely one of the ways we communicate love to our children is by boundaries. Well, God is the same. He sets these boundaries because he loves us. Okay. This is the pathway we're going to take on what we're talking about today. Well, first of all, repentance. Change your mind. Go a different direction. We're going to look at awareness of sin, regret of sin, responsibility of sin, making restitution, forgiveness, and forgiving yourself. All right, let's get started on that. Awareness. Sometimes we know what our glaring issues are, but sometimes we become blinded to them or callous to them, and we need to ask God to show us what they are. Psalm 139, 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. You know, sin is a spectrum. Jesus died for it all, for the very minuscule things we do or the extreme heinous things we do. He died for all of it. But we need to be aware. And he's the one who knows. Now, the thing that I am especially thankful for is God's mercy. Because when we ask him to show us things, he does it with mercy. He does it. Sometimes it's with a 2x4, but he prefers. I used to tell both Steve and my kids, you know, I'd say, you know, I usually come to you the very first time saying, could you please? And then I say, could you please? Hello, remember I said, could you? Could you? And then, you know, thankfully I don't really do this anymore. Don't think so. Then it's a meltdown. Well, then if I get what I wanted, I don't even want it anymore. You know, the compliance. Thankfully God isn't that way. He has mercy with us. He doesn't want to hit us with the 2x4. And he uses gentle 2x4s with me, and I try not to get to the 2x4 level, and I would encourage you to do the same. Anyway, know that his mercy. We want to pray. We want to ask God to show us what it is in our heart that doesn't please him, anything that's offensive to God, is that going to make you miserable? Possibly for a while, but in the long run, you will experience the love and the joy and the power and the freedom that you never even thought was possible. It's that good. No, it's better. It's better. Expressing regret. I used to be pretty uncomfortable with this particular scripture. I didn't like it, but I have come to value it and to see God's goodness and refreshing. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. I think we tend to minimize our sin. And yes, there is sin that doesn't have a great deal of effect on other people. But there's a lot of sin, and you know, in that category of strongholds. Strongholds devastate other people. They devastate our families. They crush our friends. So, you know, there's the spectrum of sins, but we need to be aware of our sin and the pain of it. You know, we just want to scoot right past it. Oh, well, better next time. And we want to get there, but let yourself feel the weight of your sin. Your sin, my sin, sent Jesus to the cross. And in the last decade or so, we've had accounts that we've watched in movies where we see the brutality that Jesus went through, taking punishment for our sin. I don't know about you, but I've had to look away. I don't think I've ever been able to sit through one of those that really show the crucifixion of Christ and all that he went through at the end. I can't. I cannot watch all that he went through. And that's just the physical part, obviously, the spiritual part of taking on our sin. He took it. He took it. But it cost something. And I think we shouldn't skip this one, that we should. If you don't know how your sin has affected people, again, I realize there's stuff that, you know, you stole a pen from work, probably didn't change anybody's lives radically. But if you've been angry and lashed out at people over and over and over through the years and hurt people, if you're not sure how it's affected them, maybe you should ask. How has my anger affected you? How has my drinking affected you? How has my unfaithfulness affected you? And listen to their heart. Sin is painful. Sin is hurtful and damaging. So don't just excuse it. Don't just, oh well, get on with it. Do better next time. Allow yourself the grief. Now, the good news is we do get to cast that on him. We get to cast that on. We don't keep carrying it. But at the same time, don't minimize it. Oh, well, there's people worse than me. There probably are, but that's not the point. No excuses. And by the way, we're not talking about being sorry about being caught. I think we all know that that's not where the sorrow comes. You're not sorry that you did this, you're sorry you got caught. We're going way beyond that. Anyway, allow yourself. I'm not asking you to wallow in it, I'm asking you to feel it. We've gotten in the habit of not feeling, just minimizing. All right, accepting responsibility. For I recognize my rebellion. You need to recognize it. I need to recognize it. Thankfully, we have the Holy Spirit, because he will look inside of us and point it out. things that we don't even think are rebellious. This is David talking, and this is after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, had her husband killed. I mean, that's bad stuff. That's, you know, spectrum stuff over here with big ripples. I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Again, allow yourself to feel the ugliness. Against you and you only have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. Own it. Say it. Say it to God. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. I deserve death. Accept the responsibility. You see on the left there, the ripples. We don't sin alone. None of us. Not one of us. We don't sin alone. We don't just sin in our little bubble. When we sin, it ripples out and it affects other people. Making restitution. Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for the one who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. If you have sinned and it has had ripples on people's lives, make restitution as best you can. Even if they've long since forgotten something. Now, some things, you know, if you're making restitution for having an affair, that's going to be a long time of rebuilding a relationship. But whatever it is, ask the Lord, are there ways, or ask the person, are there ways I can, you know, make restitution for this? We'll never pay for it fully, but we need to participate in realizing that we have made decisions that have affected other people, and we need to own it. Even when we can make excuses, and, you know, that's been part of our society. I think about the end of my teen years, that was becoming a big part of society. Oh, but your parents. And yes, I agree, that all affects you. But you know what? Everyone in this room right now, you're straight accountable to God. You're old enough to own it. You're old enough to be accountable. Yes, we have people in our lives that have hurt us and led us down wrong paths, but let's correct. Let's get back on God's path. Find a way to correct the situation. If something is lost or broken or damaged, or apologize, or, you know, making restitution. If, you know, and ask God, is there a way that I can make restitution in this situation? If somebody is betrayed, that is going to take a long time for restitution. But that's all you can do. You can't walk yesterday now again, but you can walk the future and do it right now with God's help. All right, ask forgiveness. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we've not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that His word has no place in our hearts. You're not telling God anything He doesn't know. I mean, we kind of act like I can't tell God that. He knows. So obviously He wants us to participate in this and speak it to Him. This is part of that owning it. I know I've sinned. I'm confessing. I agree with you, God. This was your plan, and I went a different direction. I confess that to you. He wants us to connect to Him. We just don't realize how often God invites us into relationship. In our sin, we want to go hide. What did Adam and Eve immediately do? They hid. That's our natural response to sin. And what does God say? I want you to bring it to me. Come to me. Don't go away from me. Come to me. I know it anyway. come to me. Receive forgiveness. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: I thank you, God, that I am not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. Like God needs your resume. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow. He felt his sin, his inadequacy, saying, God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you this, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves, which is another way of saying lie to themselves, will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. That's the God we serve. God, I'm not even worthy to look up to heaven. Forgive me. I don't have to justify myself and my reasons. But we have to receive it. You have to believe it. To receive it, you have to believe it. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. We have to come to him. We have to come to him and lay it before him. Again, parentheses here. I'm hoping that while you're listening and things, the Holy Spirit is working in you and saying, I want to deal with that. We've talked about this before. Let's deal with this. Forgive yourself. 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 18. I'm putting this in here because I've done it. Oh God, I know you forgive me, but I can't forgive myself. And I somehow that even seemed a little bit noble, that I would just never forgive myself. But you're actually putting yourself above God in doing that. If God forgives you, but you're above God, that you're not going to forgive yourself, that makes no sense. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Remember the video we just watched. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God gave us the task of reconciling people to him. And we need to reconcile ourselves with God. So we're asking God's forgiveness. We need to receive it. We're not going to put ourselves above God and keep punishing ourselves. God's given us things to do to deal with our sin. And the biggest reason that I wanted to share on this, I love that verse, and I didn't put it in here, but where the woman, that kind of a woman that Jesus should know what she does, came in and fell at his feet, washed his feet with her tears, anointed his feet with oil. And he said, she loves much because she's forgiven much. So does that mean you have to be the vilest of sinners to have that much love? I'm thinking no, but what I am thinking is, Lord, the more I get rid of in my heart, the more my love relationship with the Lord grows. And so, yeah, I'm like, Lord, shine the light in every corner because I want to completely love you. I want to fall at your feet. I want to know God's love to that depth. Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Walking in your own ways brings curses. Going against God's ways brings curses. Who wants that? It's not freedom. It is not freedom to do whatever you want. That is not freedom. And if you want, I've been reading this week through Psalms 119. And it's just so beautiful. If you want to fall in love with the law of God and see it as your friend and not your enemy, read Psalms 119. It's very long, but and it'll get you through several days. Just soak in it. All right. I have set between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. Times of refreshing. Repentance brings refreshing. And I just pray that the Lord will stir up in your heart something that you've been letting be between you and him. And that you repent of it. One of my worst struggles, it was so hard for me. It was a stronghold. I had a stronghold for many, many years of depression. And it would start with a negative thought, usually about Steve. Why doesn't he this? Why doesn't he that? I don't know. A lot about Steve. Early marriage. And what I felt like was a spiral, and I would keep feeding that and feeding that and feeding that, and pretty soon I'm not talking to him, and I'm ignoring him, and I'm shunning him, and, you know, that, I think the longest I made it might have been a couple of months, and that's a long time to just. And then one day I was going, God, I don't know how to get out of this. I'm stuck. I have no idea what the road back out of this spiral is. He said, repent. That's not what I expected it to be, much more complicated than that. It was painful, but not complicated. And from that time, the Lord has delivered me from that stronghold. And instead of repenting, you know, clear down here, the repentance comes a lot sooner, if I even go in at all. But repentance is freeing. It is liberating. And it's a gift I want to give to dads and everyone else. It's chopping up the ground to go deeper with God into freedom and joy and love, all the good things of God that is available. We can walk away flawless.
I'm not sure that much more needs to be said. I'll add a couple things, and then she asked me to read Psalms 51. But how many of you, and you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you want revival? How many of you believe God wants to do revival? Ooh, good job. Do you know what brings revival? Repentance. Repentance is what brings revival. And we live in a land that does not want to repent. It wants to celebrate sin. And God says, repent. And I thank my wife for sharing that. I think it takes a lot of guts to talk about sin, because we don't hear that much about it. Thank you, dear. But you know what? God's not afraid of your sin at all. In fact, he wants you to have freedom. And in Psalms 51, and the whole setup is David and Bathsheba. And everything that David did to have his way with this woman. I don't know about you, but I don't think anybody in here has gone that far where you had somebody killed. But God wants us to repent. And it's so much easier when we start, like Carol said, up here at the top of the spiral. But this is what God says. David says to God, he says, "Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again." See, there's that. In repentance, there is joy that comes. "Give me back my joy again. You have broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt." Now, does God do that? Yes, because Jesus did that on the cross, didn't he? He took that on the cross. And he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you." All through Scripture, we see this statement that the joy of the Lord is in our salvation. In other words, it's in our freedom. It's in our forgiveness that God has given to us. And then he says this, and so often this is what we do. We like to say, "Well, okay, God, this is," we kind of bargain with God. "Okay, God, this is what I'll do if you'll forgive me. Or this is what I'll do if you can deal with this thing in my life." But he says this. David to God says, "You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one, and you do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." Isn't that good? Isn't that good? So often we want to make it so complicated, and God says, "Just ask forgiveness. It's there. Walk in the forgiveness that I offer." And so I'm grateful and thankful for what you shared today. Thank you, Carol. Let's stand. I love the way God always gives us a way out. Always gives us a way out. And if there's something that you need to just ask God for today, just do that. That's your way out, and it's pretty cool. And so, Father, we come before you today, and we are grateful and thankful that the way out was Jesus and his blood that he shed to cover our sins. And when we ask forgiveness of whatever we have sinned against you, because you say that our sin is against you first and foremost, but God, we also can sin against other people. But God, when we ask forgiveness of that, you begin to look at us through the blood of Jesus, and you see us right and purified and ready to receive that joy of our salvation. And so I just pray, God, that as you have spoken to any hearts today, that you would cause them to think and to act and then to receive your forgiveness. God, I am so grateful for the men in this church and the fathers in this church, God. And the fathers that each of us have had in our lives that spoke right things into us, that spoke your word into us. And I pray today that as we celebrate our fathers, as we are excited about being fathers like you are a father, God, I pray that more and more our hearts can turn towards that. God, I give you this time today and thank you for, Lord, that might even be a call from you right now. I don't know. But Lord, let us hear your calls and let us listen to them and receive them. And so, God, I'm thankful and grateful for all that you've done for each of us and for our fathers especially today. In Jesus' name, amen.